guys. So, I'm so excited to, like, share my highlight verse. When they were talking about who wanted to speak this summer, I got really excited because there's so many Bible verses that are really important to me and affect my relationship with God so much. So I'm going to start with a story, though. So guys, just settle in, get some popcorn. It's time for Selena's story time. This is a real life story that happened to me. Yeah, it's one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. So this is my junior year of high school. I was in my English class, and I was telling my teacher about this mansion that I had seen that our family friends had just bought. And I was like, this house is so cool. Like, it looks like this creepy old mansion. And she was like, what's the address? And I was like, I don't know. So then she was like, what's their last name? And I told her, and she found their house online. And that's when I discovered the Douglas County Assessor, guys. You can look up anyone's house if you have their last name and they live in Douglas County. It's pretty cool. You can see how many bathrooms they have. You can see how much they paid. You just need their last name. So, like, my teacher found this, and she was like, I do this all the time. It's public record, okay? So it's not illegal. It's not anything sketchy. It's, like, a thing you can do. It's called, okay, just search Douglas County Assessor. Don't do it right now. Search Douglas County Assessor, and then it's called Valuation Lookup. And so I'm, like, when I go to babysit, because I work for a babysitting company, I'll, like, be like, this mansion's really nice. And I'll look up how much they paid for it because I'm curious. So anyway, this was my junior year. This is when I discovered how to look up people's houses. So my two closest friends, I told them about this. And so we started looking up the houses of, like, everyone we knew just because we thought it was fun and really interesting. And so one day, they planned a birthday scavenger hunt for me, and we finished the scavenger hunt. We were sitting and eating dinner, and they go, Selena, we want to drive past this boy's house. And this was a boy that I was, like, I kind of liked him, and I mean, I was just a junior. I knew him from middle school and elementary school. I had a crush on him ever since second grade, and so I know. But we lost touch in high school. But then every so often he would just, like, send me text messages, like, how's life going? And I'd be like, oh, it's going great, because I didn't want to be rude. But I told my friends about this guy, and so, like, they had looked up his house. And they were like, we're going to drive past his house. And I was like, guys, I don't want to do that. That's kind of weird. But, like, secretly I was like, let's do it. So I was like, guys, stop. Like, we can't drive past his house. It's so weird. And so we get in my friend Erin's car, and she – if any of you, some of the leaders have met her, she's tiny. Like, she looked like a 12-year-old when she was 17. So she had this gold minivan, and it was, like, huge compared to her. So she's, like, this little girl, like, driving a minivan. And we get in her minivan, and I get in the passenger side, and we get to, like, the area where his house is. So we're driving on the street, and his house is on the corner on this side. So we're going, like, 2 miles an hour. Like, we definitely were not, like, just passing through. It was, like, kind of sketchy. So you can see cars lining the street. And so I can't see fully into his driveway because there's, like, cars and we're driving slowly. So then they go, oh, that's a house, that's a house. So Erin honks her horn and is like, haha, this is so funny. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe we're doing this. And we get right to, like, where the driveway is, and he's in the driveway, walking out shirtless, like, looking, like, at our car. And I have never freaked out harder in my life. I leapt into the backseat, and I was like, drive, drive, drive. It was so embarrassing. But that wasn't even the worst part. Right after that, my friend Erin goes, Selena, I feel so bad. Like, I don't catcall young men. Like, I don't just honk my horn at shirtless boys in neighborhoods. Like, I don't do that. And so she was like, I need you to, like, make this right. Like, maybe you could just text him and be like, hey, we just happened upon your house. That's so crazy. Like, I'm sorry. So he doesn't think that some random girl was honking at him. I don't want him to think that. And I was like, I don't know if that would be, like, a good idea. And my other friend was like, Selena, don't do it. There's no way he's going to believe it. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe he would. And Erin felt so bad that she was like, just do it. We'll write a text. So we wrote a text. And this is basically how it went. was like, hey, I think I just drove past your house. We were in Rockbrook, like, which is, it's a shopping center. Like, it's not really that close to very many neighborhoods, and it was not that close to his neighborhood. And so I was like, I think we just drove past your house. I saw you and told my friends I knew you, and they honked their horn. Like, that's so funny, right? And he just texted back, yeah, that happened. And I am still to this day, I lie awake at night, and I'm like, there's no way he believed that. Like, there's no way. Can you imagine if you just got a random text from this girl you haven't seen in, like, 3 years? It's like, hey, I think I just drove past your house. Like, what are the odds? That doesn't happen, guys. So, yeah, that's, like, the most embarrassing story of my life. It still haunts me, guys. It still haunts me. But the point of this story, my highlight verse is Proverbs 4:23, and you can put that on the screen, which is, guard your heart above all else, for everything you do flows from it. So I know if I had been guarding my heart in this situation, like, when this boy was texting me all the time, like, if I had been guarding my heart and being careful with what I consumed and, like, what I cared about, I probably would have saved myself a ton of embarrassment. I would have saved myself a ton of, like, caring about what he thought, because, like, why should I care about what this guy thinks of me anyway? But I did. And so we're going to talk about guarding your heart today, and I'm just going to define it for you guys, because it's kind of like a Christianese phrase. Like, people say it all the time, but I feel like not a lot of people, yeah, Christianese, it's a thing. Like, it means that it's a saying that a lot of Christians know and say to other Christians, but some people are like, I don't know what that means. So guarding your heart means filtering your thoughts and emotions. So if you're taking notes, which you should be taking notes, filtering your thoughts and emotions and protecting your thoughts and emotions from, like, the effects of outside factors. So think of, like, a water filter pitcher of how you, like, pour in the tap water and it filters out the bad stuff. And you have nice, clean water to drink at the end. So it's kind of like in the Bible verse, it says everything you do flows from it. So when you're guarding your heart, when you're protecting your thoughts and emotions, when you're filtering those thoughts and emotions, you get in what you put out, or you get out what you put in. So when you put the water in the filter, the result is that clean water. But if you put in, like, really, really, really dirty water with, like, chemicals and everything, that water filter would not be able to get everything that's in that water. So you need to be putting in the best stuff, like, consuming the best stuff and guarding your heart. So one of my friends, when I was telling her about this sermon, like, this talk that I was going to give, she was saying to her, guarding your heart is kind of protecting your worth. So there's so many different messages, there's so many different negative things that will try to come in into our filter, and they're going to try to threaten our worth. Like, that situation that was embarrassing, like, I was so embarrassed, and, like, I was like, I'm so dumb, like, how could I do that? I'm just a stupid girl who drives past people's houses, like, I'm a stalker. Like, that was kind of threatening my worth, and it was just something really little, but I didn't guard my heart in that moment. So another one of my really big main points is that everything has an effect on you. So everything has an effect on your heart. There's a million different messages we get every single day, all the time, that we're consuming from the outside world. And then there's, like, a million messages we're getting from God, too, that we can choose to allow into our heart. So I'm a psychology major, for those of you who don't know. And I think it's so interesting to find studies and different things that correlate with what I'm talking about or what I'm interested in. So I recently took a class where we had to use databases to find psychology studies. So I found this one that kind of illustrates my point, and it's actually really interesting. So in the Netherlands, in, like, 2014, they wanted to test whether music genres would affect how much alcohol you consumed. So they put a bunch of young adults in a room, and they made it look kind of like a bar, and they were going to have them do two different tasks, but between these tasks, they had a 50-minute break, and they were going to play music, like, different genres of music, and then they could order alcoholic drinks or non-alcoholic drinks. So they wanted to see which music genre would produce, like, the most alcohol consumption, or if there was no relationship at all. So at the end of the study, they found one genre. These are the genres that they played, first off. Hard rock, pop, classical, and rap music. And so at the end, there was a group that drank a lot more than the other groups. Can anybody guess what, like, music genre they were listening to? What? Rock? Rap? Country? Country was not one of the options, but... The music genre was classical music. Yeah. Which is like, I started reading this study and I was shocked. Like, what the heck? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because classical music is like something I listen to when I do homework and like, I don't know, I just, it's like you don't think about it, you know? It's not like it's like, drink more alcohol. Like, it doesn't do that. It's just classical music. You don't even hear it. Like, you feel like you don't even hear it. So these people were buying more drinks and didn't even realize that they were doing that because they were affected by the music that was around them. And this is a quote from the study. The researchers said this. This pattern is quite robust. That means it's, like, really strong and consistent. So every time that they did something like this, the same results happened. It did not depend on participants' age, gender, drinking habits, own music preference, or relative importance of music in their lives. So it didn't matter if they listened to music a lot, didn't matter if they drank alcohol a lot, it didn't matter what age they were, what gender they were, classical music still affected all of these people the same. And that like blows my mind. That is just so representative of, I think, what guarding your heart means. Everything has an effect on you. I don't care what gender you are. I don't care how old you are. There's leaders in here who know that they need to be guarding their hearts too. Like, you could be 50 years old, you still need to be guarding your heart. You could think you have tons of self-control and you're like, it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter who I talk to or what I listen to or what I watch, because not, like, I don't think that has an effect on me. I don't feel convicted. That's not how it works, guys. Everything has an effect on you. So this is another study that I found, which I thought was really interesting, and it kind of applies a little bit more to threatening your worth. So this was another study published in 2014. They had boys in 7th grade, 9th grade, and 11th grade divided into groups. And one group watched music videos with singers that were like average looks, like you're just your average Joe, I guess. I don't know. And then the other group watched videos with, like, really muscular pop singers or whatever who were really cool and sang cool songs. I don't know. And they found that the boys who viewed the muscular clips reported lower appearance satisfaction, lower happiness, more depressive feelings compared to the other group of boys. So that's another thing. That's like a 3-minute video clip. Like, I would not expect that to have an effect on me, but because I know, because I've been asking God to guard my heart, and because I've been becoming more aware of the patterns, like, there's certain things that I don't do, or, like, that I don't watch or don't listen to for long periods of time, because, like, that's going to threaten my worth. Like, these boys started comparing themselves to these guys in these videos, because they were allowing those messages into their heart. What was I going to say? Oh, here's another story. Guys, I have so many stories that apply to this. I don't know how many stories. We'll see at the end. But also my junior year of high school, I was, I applied for the National Honor Society, which I don't know if any of you guys know what that is. But, yeah, it's like a club for smart people. And all of my friends were like, super smart. And really, like, well-rounded, super academic and whatnot. And so I was like, I'm going to get in. Like, when we get in, what are we, like, we were just assuming that, like, we were all going to get into this club. And it was just like, yeah, this is going to happen. It's not a big deal. Like, it's not even, I think at some point we were like, why do we even need to apply? Like, we're totally going to get into this club. Like, National Honor Society is going to look so good on college applications. Like, it's going to be great. And the day came. And we got our letters, and I didn't get in, and all of my friends did. And I was devastated. Like, I remember at lunch, the girls who were already in National Honor Society brought cupcakes to all the girls who made it in, and I didn't get a cupcake. I was like, what the heck? All my friends at their table got a cupcake put in front of them, and they were like, congratulations. And I was like, this sucks. And I remember, like, I went home and I cried. I burned my rejection letter. Like, I was so upset. Yeah. But, yeah. That's another situation. Like, that kind of threatened my worth. And if I had been guarding my heart ahead of time, if I had been praying about it and saying, God, if I don't get in, make me okay with that. If I don't get this end result, if I get rejected, if I am disappointed, please guard my heart. Please protect me from the negative emotions that want to drag me down. I was bitter for like a year after that. My friends would be talking about, like, they'd go to NHS meetings, or like one of my friends got, she became treasurer or whatever, and I could not be happy for them, because whenever they'd bring it up, I'd be like, I didn't make it in, and I don't know why, and I didn't deserve that. And I'd be like, I don't even know if they deserved it. Like, why would they make it in and not me? Like, I was just so bitter about it. And looking back, like, I don't even think about that anymore. And, like, I got in the next year, and it wasn't even that cool. Like, and I don't even know if it helped me get into college or do anything important at all. But I don't know. It just, it affected me so much. And I know that if I had been praying, if I had been guarding my heart, and even after the fact, if I had been consuming things where God tells me what my worth is, and reading the Bible and spending more time with Him and consuming positive things, then I would have been so much better off. That was kind of the why you should guard your heart. Well, now we're going to talk about how you can guard your heart. This is what I should have been doing all along during the NHS thing, is prayer and asking God to help me become aware of, like, what affects me. So the good thing about guarding your heart is that you can't do it alone. Like, it's not all on you. Like, man, I messed up again. This is all my fault. Like, I need to be careful about everything that comes into my life. And, like, I can't watch this movie because it's bad. And I can't listen to this song because it's bad. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying prayer has a lot of power. And there are even circumstances, like, over this past year where I've been like, God, if this doesn't work out the way I want, please bless this situation. Like, if it goes the other way, like, I would even pray into, like, this goes the other way, I pray that it's, like, so awesome for, like, whatever outcome this is. I pray that the other person involved in this, it, like, does so well. And, like, if I had been praying for my friends before I got into NHS and was like, God, I pray that Maddie, like, does so well in this, and that, and I just thank you that you've given her this opportunity, like, I would have been so much better off. Like, that would affect, like, the water filter. That would affect, like, the water at the end. That's, like, what I would be able to put out, is that joy and that, like, support from my friends. So what you put in is what you get out. Prayer is incredibly important for guarding your heart. With that boy whose house I drove past, I know, this is, like, more of a practical thing. I should have just not texted him back. Like, I never saw this kid. Guys, texting relationships, I'm going to just tell you guys a secret. They don't really work. Like, I know. It's crazy. Like, it seems to make sense that, like, if you are texting someone, like, at midnight about their favorite ice cream flavor, that you must be, like, best friends. Right? Like, I mean, that's how it works. But it just makes things so much awkward and so much more awkward. And, like, I knew I was not actually that interested in this guy, and he wasn't, I'm pretty sure he wasn't interested in me. I don't know why he would text me, but I kind of developed an attachment to that relationship, even though I was like, I'm not going to marry this guy. Like, I'm not really that interested. He doesn't love Jesus. Like, he vapes. He's not, like, guys, don't, he wasn't cool. And, like, I knew that, but I don't know. I just liked the attention that the texting relationship was. And so I was allowing that shallowness to come into my heart instead of consuming other good things. So another thing that is really important to guarding your heart is Scripture. So we're going to put up the next Bible verse, Philippians 4:8. This is one I memorized in elementary school. It's finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, Whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So start changing your thoughts. Use scripture. Like, sometimes I have to tell myself when I'm, when my thoughts are starting to get negative or when my thoughts are starting to get just really shallow or I compare myself to other people, I'll quote Bible verses to myself. And it really helps. Or I'll pray and I'll say, God, help me guard my heart. So all of these things, like if it's not true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, like don't even bother thinking about it. Like change your thoughts and ask God to help you change your thoughts. This is something that I think is really important in ministering to your friends. One of my friends likes to say, like when our conversations are just getting really like kind of shallow or gossipy or negative, she'll say, I think we need to elevate this conversation. And what she means by that is by talking about true, noble, right, pure, lovely, excellent, praiseworthy things. Like, oh my gosh, I just hate like Lisa. She's so annoying. And the other day she was telling me that like she said this to so-and-so and like, oh, it's just so annoying to me. And like that conversation doesn't go anywhere. Like that's not guarding your heart. That's not guarding your friends' hearts. And when you're with your friends who don't love Jesus and don't know what guarding your heart is, like you can show them what it's like. You can show them by the way you live and by how close you are to God. Like there's so many experiences I've had where I'm just living my life and I'm just like guarding my heart. And I'm like, oh, I don't really want to do that right now. I don't want to talk about that right now. Or I just need to pray about this. Like, and it's not like I need to spend 2 hours praying about it. I'll just say a quick prayer like, Jesus, help me figure this out. Or help guard my heart really quick. And like that has been so powerful. I've had so many people ask me like, how are you so joyful all the time? Like how do you stay so positive? And like how does this not bother you? Like that would crush me. How did that not drive you crazy? It's because I've been guarding my heart and because I've been letting God guard my heart. Like it's not on me. But another practical thing is when your worth is threatened or when the boy doesn't text you back or the girl doesn't text you back and you find yourself like so upset by that for no reason, or you don't get the job you want or you don't get into the club you wanted or the sport you wanted, and you find out that you like placed your worth in so many things that don't matter, is you can start spending more time with Jesus. And that's really hard because there's so many situations where like I've been disappointed and I just want to watch Netflix or watch YouTube for like however many hours, because that's just kind of a mindless, like shallow thing you can do. And like, don't get me wrong. I like YouTube. I like Netflix, like all that stuff. I'm just saying you guys need to find a balance. In one situation recently where I was like, man, this didn't go the way that I wanted, I made a playlist immediately that was all songs about God telling me my worth. And I didn't listen to anything else but that for a week because I knew that's what my heart needed. And sometimes your heart needs more of that. Sometimes your heart needs less. But I knew, because God has helped me to become self-aware of what affects me and what things come into my heart, I knew that my worth was going to be threatened. I knew that I needed to protect my worth. So I had that playlist. And like that moment, like which would have been really upsetting for some people, was something where I experienced a ton of growth, because I was guarding my heart after the fact, and I had been guarding my heart before the fact too. So yeah, that's another practice thing. Make a playlist, read some scripture, like come up with scripture verses that you can quote to yourself, and pray about it a lot. Ask God to help you become self-aware of the things you need to give up, because some of you, I know God's going to tell you to give some things up, like give up that texting conversation. I've been using that example a lot, but I feel like it applies. Give up that song that you listen to 50 times a day. Give up that, like, how much time you spend on video games, maybe. I'm not saying don't play video games, don't listen to music, don't do other things, but I'm saying that all of that stuff has an effect on you, whether you like it or not. And you choose what you get to put into your heart. So I just want to speak like to each gender really quick. Girls, guarding your heart is something that I think is like, because I'm a girl and I get it, this is something that I think is incredibly important to you guys. And especially in junior high and like starting high school, our imaginations just like run wild with everything. Like, I was already imagining myself in National Honor Society, like, and then when it didn't happen, I was crushed because I had placed like this expectation on things, and we do it without even realizing it. So I just urge you guys to be careful with, like, guarding your heart means, like, you don't have to put walls up around your heart, but you have to be careful with what things you're consuming and what you're allowing your thoughts to do. Like, don't start imagining yourself married to this boy that you have a crush on, because I thought I was going to marry this kid that I had a crush on in second grade through eighth grade, and I would, like, I have journal entries where it literally says, like, my name and his last name and, like, wedding dress pictures, and, like, it's so embarrassing. I'm going to get to you guys in a second. Hold on. But that's what I'm saying. Don't act like you haven't done it. Don't act like you haven't done it, okay? I know for a fact that you girls talk about that kind of stuff, and I did too. And, like, in your minds and stuff, just be, like, the reason I cringe, like, when people are like, oh, my gosh, I love this guy. Like, I think I'm in love. I'm going on a date on Saturday. Sorry, I'm getting on a rabbit trail, but a girl at camp, she's not here, but she met a guy and broke up with her boyfriend back home. The next day, got a date with the guy she met at camp for the Saturday that we got back. She had just met him, and she texted her boyfriend that she was going to break up with him, and then she's like, I have a date with this guy on Saturday. And I was like, you're not guarding your heart. Like, if that doesn't work out, that's going to be devastating. Like, and I know that people discredit junior high relationships, but it still hurts. Like, your worth is still hurt. And I know people who are still affected by relationships they had in junior high who are still really hurt by that because they didn't guard their hearts. So be careful. And guys, so this is, I just think it's really important. I feel that it's the responsibility of young men to guard the hearts of the women around them. You guys need to be guarding your hearts too, but be careful when you, like, text that girl, like, about her favorite cupcake flavor or whatever. Like, why are you doing that? Like, just be careful. I'm trying to think of more examples. Just be careful because, like you've seen, they're writing in their journals about you. Like, they think they're going to be married. And you guys aren't ready for that kind of commitment. But I'm saying just... be careful with how your actions can affect others.
Guys think that things have no consequences. But guys, your actions, every action has a consequence. So, to guard girls' hearts, you can't just send one text and nothing's going to happen.
And I know that both genders like attention. Like, both, we all like attention. We all like to feel like someone acknowledges us, someone gets us. That's, like, something that all of us, even us leaders, struggle with that sometimes, with liking the attention. And, again, prayer. Ask God, like, is this worth my time? Because there's so many, like, different, like, little texts that I've sent that I'm like, I wasted so much time on that. Or, like, things that I cared about that just don't matter anymore. And this isn't, guarding your heart is not just about relationships. I think it's more applicable day to day with how it threatens your worth and what you decide to consume and put out for the rest of the world. For your friends who don't love Jesus, what are you able to give them? Because what are you consuming? And what you're consuming should be different from what they're consuming. So, guys, you're called to guard the hearts of the people around you. And, like, I know you guys like, I don't know about junior high guys, but you like responsibility and you're all leaders. And so you can be like, just leave them alone. Leave them alone for a little bit. Girls, leave the guys alone for a little bit. Guard your hearts. That doesn't mean don't talk to the other gender. It just means be careful. Pastor Drew says maybe. For some of you, maybe actually. But I'm saying be careful about what you do. I have to guard my heart even with my guy friends now. Like, and my guy friends are like so respectful and so good about being careful to not let their actions be misconceived by anyone. And they're just like, we're able to have a good friendship because we guard our hearts, and like they help guard our hearts and we help guard our own hearts too. If that makes sense. But yeah, just be really careful about the relationships you have with others and like guarding your heart in that. So my takeaways are, everything has an effect. Prayer is incredibly important. Ask God to help you become self-aware of the patterns in your life that need to be fixed, the things you have to give up in order to guard your heart. And what else was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Girls, keep the daydreaming to a minimum. It's so fun, but like that's just another way to guard your heart. Guys, be careful about how your actions affect others, because every single action affects someone. And so, yeah, we're going to go into small groups. I'm going to pray us out, and we're going to discuss everything we learned today. Dear God, thank you so much for today and for allowing me to speak. I pray that something got through. I don't know, whatever you want them to know, whatever you want their hearts to know. I pray that you'll just help us to guard our hearts better. Make us more self-aware of what affects us and what hurts us, so that we can feel more secure in our relationship with you, so that we can minister to others, so that we can be lights to others, so we can elevate conversations. I pray that you'll just help us guard our hearts in everything, Jesus, and bless these small groups today. In your name, amen.